Hello and welcome to another episode of the How to Scale Business podcast. My name is Hector Santiesteban and I am your host for today. And we're here with Felix Bertram. He is a renaissance man, but mostly he's the CEO and owner of Skinmen. He's also got a restaurant. He's involved in a number of other creative projects. Felix, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the invite.
You mentioned that before we got started that you've been able to do a number of other things outside of your, let's call it your main thing. I'm curious how that played out, if that was something that was always the plan, if those happened organically in stages. Take us through the development of your career and kind of catch us up onto a little bit about what you're doing now.
Sure. I'm a board certified dermatologist and I started off as a single dermatologist with my own practice. And then I found out that I love to create and build and I'm full of determination and passion for business. I'm always telling when I'm having my me time, I'm thinking of business instead of dermatology or stuff like that. So I started off hiring doctors and growing. And once we came to the stage of 140 employees and five clinics, you might think the other project are apart from this, but they are linked together. So we opened this restaurant, for example, because I'm looking for ways to do marketing for my main business and a 2-Michelin-star restaurant, which is like 7 courses and every course is like a piece of art, is some kind of visualization of my main business. We're doing beauty, we're doing perfection, we're working precisely in the operating theater. So this craftsmanship of creating amazing food compositions is another way of marketing. And a very core thing is that we offer lunch for our employees. And nowadays, it's super hard to find good people. And we offer a broad range of benefits and stuff for our people. And it's so much appreciated. And that's the two main reasons why I have the restaurant. Most people do not understand and think it's their own business and is not linked to my main business, but it is. And again, food is very much related to health and especially to skin. So that's the background. But you know, I like to try new things. Then I was invited to the show Shark Tank in Switzerland, and I'm enjoying so much being surrounded by other entrepreneurs and grow in their shadow. So yeah, that's how it worked out.
That's so cool to see it translate over and to see the connection between the restaurant and the skincare business, because you see it, you're able to see it, and you're able to create that connection. I'm curious, for you, what was there an evolution in terms of a lot of our listeners, they go through the stage of they're the cook in the kitchen, if you will, but all of a sudden they've got to go out and they've got to be the business owner. They've got to be the owner, not just the chef, if you will. Yeah. How have you managed that, kind of pulling yourself out of perhaps the day to day while still keeping your essence, your creativity, or how have you been able to essentially clone yourself into your team and your people while having all these things going on?
It's a very core question. And to be honest, I'm still working on this. I'm not completely out of the daily business. But what my business is a people's business. So the core element is people, whether it's patients or employees. And to get out of the daily business, it's so necessary to find great people and to empower them. So my two key things are KPIs. I need measurements for my people. I have to set goals. I have to explain these KPIs and work out together where we're heading through. So that's one key element. And then we have a leadership structure. And I think that's very key. You can't just hire people and believe they do the work. You have to find out who's a leader personality, then train them, develop them, and then you get there. And if people are involved into your business and if they have their space and you allow them to make own decisions, that's what's maintaining people or retaining people.
Yeah, the KPI thing is a big thing for business owners, especially when they're going through that phase of they're not in control of everything. They don't have their hands on everything. And so there's no way to be involved in every aspect of business, but at least the numbers gives you a better, more realistic view as opposed to what a lot of people, and myself included in the past, have ran the business based on feeling and how it feels and emotion. And I feel like that can get very cloudy.
You know, that's possible as long as you're maybe 5 to 10 people. Then you can lead it by family style, by direct contact. But once you get to a certain certain size or amount of employees, you need these KPIs. And KPIs is nothing else than breaking down your business visions and business goals into numbers or into goals, whatever you name it. I think that's very key. And a third thing is very key is culture. And I make sure everyone is in the restaurant at lunchtime. So the doctors and the good paid people in my company, they pay like 12 Swiss francs, which is very cheap. And the people with lower paid jobs, they get free lunch. So we can make sure everyone is there. And then we sit on the big table and we chat. And that makes myself more approachable. And that's so important for many of our employees, seeing the leader on a daily basis. And he's approachable and you can talk. We talk about regular stuff and they see he's just a regular guy. And that helps a lot to create this company culture.
Are there things or have there been times where you've seen something in your business and go, that's not who we are? And then taken, I'm curious, when you talk about culture, I think that a lot of that stems from the owner. But then when you've got a large organization, now you've got to instill or give, or somehow that culture has to go from translate from the owner to the employees. Yeah. What was that process like? Or were there any hiccups or was that a smooth process? Take us into that a little bit.
Growing a business is never a smooth process. You learn by failure. I made so many failures. And that's a very good question. And you absolutely, in the beginning, I wanted to dictate the culture. Today, I just create space to let the culture grow. You know what I mean? So we create this is lunch, and then we have other events and lunch and learns. We create spaces where people can create their own culture. And that's what's happening. Definitely, it's led by me a little bit, because when you enter the clinic, everything looks very nice design. We sell beauty in the end. The culture is led by some kind of perfection, quality, precision. And yeah, but it gives space to the employees to create their own culture. And that, I think that's important. You can't dictate the culture.
When you wake up in the morning, you have so many things that can pull at your attention. And I'd imagine that even some of the things that pull at your attention may not be the things that drive the bottom line or drive the revenue. I see this happen podcasts a lot. People start podcasts and then they want to spend all their day podcasting when their business is actually, they have a whole other business to run. But how do you decide where to put your time in a day? And I don't know if you'd liken yourself to an Elon Musk character, but it seems like you've got that many things going on where we've only got so much time in the day. So you as a leader, how do you decide where to spend that?
That's a very good question. I'm very focused. My key business is my clinics. And I start my day with one or two most important tasks. I make sure all meetings have an agenda, a purpose, and a duration. We don't go in any meetings to just chat. I'm good in delegating stuff, make sure other people take over. But delegating is not just handing over stuff. It's all empower these people to do the job, troll or feedback them. The restaurant, for example, is led by my team. It's the chef and the restaurant manager, and they do it on their own. I'm very lucky about it. Yeah, and that's it. I'm very focused, and you need good people and good teams to help you grow. That's why I invest so much on people. It's so key to me. You really recruit and hire the right people, help them grow, develop them. So I'm still able to focus on my core business things and work on future stuff and my strategies. Then that's how it works. Very focused and very clear.
When we get back from break, Felix, I want to ask you a little bit about the future, the nuts and bolts of where you're at and where you think things are going. And we're going to get into that right after this quick break. Hey, y'all. Today's episode is brought to you by Amplify Media, and we are a podcast and content production company. We like to think of ourselves as platform builders because chances are you have a product, a passion, a mission, a message, something that you want to get out to the world, but you might not have the time, the team, or the tech skills to be able to do that. Well, if that's the case, we can help. Go to amplifymedia.com. That's AMPLAFY media.com. You can also check the show notes for info. And with that, let's get back to the interview with Felix. So I'm curious for you, there's so many new advancements in technologies and so many new things that are happening. I'm curious if there's stuff that's happening that you're excited about in your industry that may seem either, maybe it's applicable to other people, maybe you seem like it's not, but I'm just curious what sort of things that you're looking forward to, what sort of things that you're excited about when it comes to being a business owner and I don't even want to call it the cosmetic space, but in the beauty space, if you will. Yeah. What are some things that you're looking forward to?
So I'm very excited excited about two things. One is AI, and I think especially we do dermatology as well. So we dermatology and beauty, especially in the dermatology area, is fast forward. We can scan the skin already and measure the molds and compare them year by year. So that's a big advancement. I'm not doing the check on my own anymore. It's done by a computer. I double check it. So I think that will be fast. Although I think a doctor will not be replaced that soon because people need this kind of personal contact and someone has to be responsible for all that.
Can I double tap on that and just go deep a little deeper on kind of what you're saying? So those molds and such, those were analysis or check-ins that had to happen periodically anyway, like for a customer or a client or a patient, if you will. Is that what it was? And now that all of a sudden with AI, the time that it took, it just reduced the amount of time. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, and it increases the quality and the precision of the measurements. 2 years ago, I was checking the skin with my own eyes and with a good light and took pictures manually, maybe. And today it's all done by a computer. And I'm predicting very soon, most of the dermatological diagnosis will be done by AI. So we are already at the point where we can scan a picture of your skin. And in the background, AI is doing a very precise diagnosis. That will happen very soon. So then the main work is done by computers, but it needs then probably the prescription part or coaching part still by a doctor. But I think many intellectual work will be done by AI.
Does that reduce, I'm seeing AI as a, I don't know how to say it. Does that reduce the skill level of the person that's doing that? So all of a sudden someone like you isn't, or does it allow them to just the output, they can do more in the same amount of time? For business owners, I'm thinking that there are a lot of these developments where their skill set or their expertise was required. And because AI is there in a similar instance like this, where they don't need someone who is as skilled or as experienced in order to do these assessments.
Yeah. Yes, especially in the medical part, not as much in the beauty part, but in the medical part, I assume that there will be a shift towards nurses or nurse practitioners doing most of the job. I think that the work of a doctor will change because the intellectual property will shift to computers. I think, honestly, even if you type in certain symptoms into Google, it's very precise already. It's astonishing. So that it will go very fast and you will feed the computer with all kinds of symptoms and laboratory and stuff like this, and they will spit out the exact diagnosis, even better than a doctor. Because a doctor, we have often biases and we have this human brain, and AI is much more precise and is not led by emotions or misconceptions. And I think that will be a shift in our industry, definitely.
You said it's not going to replace the doctor, though. So how might you see it work for business owners who have the skilled worker here? I think that there's this dilemma of how do we best utilize these highly skilled and usually highly compensated people with this AI tool? And it seems like that's the kind of the challenge that you're talking about right there.
Yeah, but I think, first of all, the demographic change will be intense. So we will be faced with a huge amount of elderly people suffering from diseases, facing a lower number of doctors. So we all probably appreciate AI. Especially here in Switzerland, we have two less doctors. We people have long waiting time. I don't know how it is in US or in other countries, but I think it's the same trend. The needs and the demand for doctors and healthcare is huge and we can't afford it anymore. So I will be of help. Although I think someone has to be responsible for the decisions. So I don't think that will be done by a computer, and it's probably the habits of our humans. We are happy to have the assistance by a computer, but I wouldn't feel comfortable getting a diagnosis and a prescription only by a computer. I would like to see someone human. He reassures me and helps me and guides me through that process. So I think maybe sometime a doctor will be replaced, but it will take a long time. I think for quite a while, it's needed to have this hybrid system, AI and doctors. And the second trend is longevity. I think that will change our beauty industry massively. It's already happening, a shift away from Botox, lasers, but fillers towards longevity, and research is making huge progress. It's hugely interesting. And I think that will be another revolutionary shift, the shift to longevity and more research coming out. And we know what to do and how we can influence that.
Is that requiring a shift in how you run the business or how you approach the business?
Yes, I think we will get a broader approach, more holistic approach to care and healthcare. And it's not only beauty and dermatology, it's also any other subject. We're going more to preventive and regenerative medicine instead of waiting until the disease occurs and then treating it. So we will shift towards, yeah, being better in preventive medicine and avoid diseases by the right habits.
And I'd imagine that would change a lot of offerings that you're providing.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know, you know, I'm wearing this Oura Ring, for example. Yeah. It measures my sleep. And it's so interesting. I'm just realizing that when I drink one glass of alcohol, only one glass, one beer per night, it has massive impact on my sleep. And for example, there's one measurement, it's called the...
heart rate variability.
And when I drink a glass of beer, it's about 10 or 14. Once I drink no alcohol, it's 50 again. It's so massive. And I'm really getting frightened that we have legalized alcohol. And we know it's very hard to resist because everywhere you go, it's, come have a drink. But it's poison in the end. We can unveil it now. We can see these stuff by these measurements. And it won't take long until we can put a batch on our skin and you will see all kinds of results, like blood results, other measurements. And that will be a huge change very soon, that you will be measured and you will have a direct feedback on your habits and your routines.
Yeah, it's this whole preventative thing. I would imagine that in an industry like yours, and maybe you're a little buffered from it, but it seems like going from treatment or aftercare to preventative is almost like a 180 shift, at least in the healthcare space. And the business models behind it are going to have to follow suit as well.
But that's what we're starting off. We implement food and nutritions now. We already start at the very early stage with skin and prevention and sunscreen and all this. It's a very basic level, but I'm pretty sure we very soon will have measurement devices and people will have that or have their mobile devices measuring their whatever things in and outside of the body. And that will lead to a big shift, I'm very sure.
Well, I'm glad it's someone like you that's on the frontier leading this charge, because you bring a very wholesome, authentic feel to perhaps an industry that's not usually what's leading it, is what I'd say. I want to give you some kudos.
Absolutely. There. Thank you so much.
Felix, if people want to get deeper in your world, follow up with you, I think that you even have a show, a podcast of your own, where can people go and get connected with you?
What is the webpage, skinmid.ch for Switzerland, and then I'm busy on Instagram. That's my main tools, which is Dr. Felix Bertram. And yeah, we'll put it in the captions and you're welcome to reach out.
Cool. Felix, this has been so fun. My last question to you at this stage, and in your opinion, what's the secret to scaling a business?
Determination and knowing it's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm coaching a lot of people in our industry. Many people have this feeling, I open up like 5 clinics and I just hire injectors and put them in there and then have passive income. And that's bullshit. If you take the road to success and scale, you will be busy and you will be out of balance many times. So better find your why and your passion, because you have to contribute a lot to your business and you have to pay a price for that. And if you don't like it and if you're not passionate about what you're doing, it will fail. And never do it for the money only. That doesn't work. It's my opinion.
Great advice. Fantastic insights for sure. For those of you who stuck with us, we appreciate you being here. We would love and be grateful for a rating or review wherever you get your podcast. And if you know someone who is in the midst of scaling their business, needs to hear this, hit that share button and let's send them a text and grow the tribe together. As always, we appreciate you being here. We'll see you on the next one. Later, y'all.